Welcome to this special edition, this Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, and it's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My name is Doug Wortham. My co-host is Tom Lyons, and our special guest in studio with us is the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. General, thank you for being here. We appreciate that.
Hey, good morning, Doug and Tom. It's great to be here once again. Thank you very much for hosting us today.
Yes, and in general, you brought in a special guest when we found out that you're going to be having a visitor from Norway. We thought, what a great opportunity to bring somebody in from another country and hear a little bit about their events, how they honor their fallen. And so I'm pleased to introduce Ina Sarida. And she's a member of the Norwegian Parliament and chair of the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and Defense. Ina, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you for coming in. And I'm sure, well, maybe it was. This was on your bucket list, right? You had to come to Minnesota so you could get on the radio.
Absolutely. That's the only reason I came, actually.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel great. And you did that with a straight face, so that was fantastic. Thank you for doing that. In general, thanks for bringing in this special guest. And I think we'll just dive right into it because, you know, it is live radio. We don't have a lot of time. And I'm very interested to understand a little bit about the things that you do in Norway and how you honor. So let's just start there. How does Norway honor its fallen service members?
Actually, we have 2 days where we have the opportunity to honor our fallen service members. One is, of course, the Memorial Day that is on the first Sunday every November. There is quite a lot of events taking place, and with large parts of the kind of official Norway, so to speak. And in addition to that, we celebrate the combination of our Liberation Day, which was when we were liberated after World War II, and that's on 8th of May. And we combine that since 2011 with the National Veterans Day. So this actually has become quite a huge remembrance of both our veterans from the World War II, our younger and current veterans, but also those who have fallen. So we try to combine the joy that came with the peace in 1945, with also remembering those who actually sacrificed everything, both back in the older days, but also now.
Awesome.
General, you mentioned World War II, but I think for our listeners that might not be familiar, Norway is a great training partner for you and has been for a long time, and you've got a long relationship, and it's part of the reason she's here today.
Absolutely, Tom. You know, we have the longest running reciprocal troop exchange program, really, in all of the Department of Defense with Norway, and we celebrated our 52nd year last year, and we're in the planning stages for our 53rd year, which will take place in February of this year, as well as we officially signed a state partnership program, a state partnership agreement with Norway a couple of years ago. It was quite a magical event with the Queen involved and, of course, the governor involved. But really, it strengthens and deepens our relationship with Norway, both on the land component as well as the air component, and really grows upon what we do in the exchange program.
And fitting that you've joined us on our Memorial Day, so that when we're honoring all of the people that we've lost in those wars. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I just wanted to echo what the general says about the cooperation that we've had for so many years. And it's really been a backbone, I would say, of the military cooperation that we've had over decades. And the interesting thing is that the older it gets, the more renewed it gets as well. So the state partnership program, as the general mentions, is just really one of those things we're doing to take it forward. This was really one of the most, successful collaborations I saw when I was defense minister. And it predates me, and it has also continued after my time in office. And it's something I think that one cannot underestimate. One is, of course, the strong historic ties we have between Norway and the U.S., and especially here in this region, celebrating 200 years this year since the first ship of Norwegian migrants came to the U.S., but also because it is very much built on a trust and an interest, a genuine interest from both sides in making this work. So it is really a gem, if I may say so.
Well, I know that all of those who have had the opportunity to experience the exchange in the stories that are told, obviously talking about their great experiences. We know that today, that's a highly sought off after opportunity to be able to go on this exchange. And of course, it's a limited number of people. So, you know, I would assume on your end, it's the same as it is on this end, where people are doing everything they can to try to get themselves in a position where they get this opportunity, because it is such a great partnership and just a wonderful cultural experience as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you've been to Norway yourself, so you know that it is for us extremely important to have our best friends and allies coming over to train. And I mean, our most important ally is the U.S. And the more we exchange, the more we connect, the better for both of us.
Now, we're obviously here, we're honoring Memorial Day, and you've been in service for quite a long time, multiple positions throughout your tenure. And I'm just wondering, as you know, over your time as Minister of Defense, even, you know, what kind of things have really brought home this cost of military service? What are the things that you think about?
Well, I think of it in two ways. One, of course, is when we have had historically moments where we have lost several soldiers in the same accident or the same attack, and to be there when they arrive home, typically from an attack in Afghanistan where we lost four soldiers in one attack one day. But also when we had a plane accident in the Swedish mountains, where one C-130 went down into the mountain and we lost five people. And this is something that really shows you very clearly and immediately the cost of doing service. But I also look at it in a different way, that there is also a cost that isn't necessarily as visible. The cost for the families. Mm-hmm. And I think that whenever I give speeches on this, I always underline that the family is not just affected by the fact that you have a service member in your family. You are actually a part of the mission as a family. And when families suffer, when they miss their loved ones, when they search for information, when they want to know what happens, that is also an important part of taking care of veterans and taking care of our forces and our service members. And in addition to that, I think we need to focus more on the fact that there are people who are struggling after doing service. Some of them end their lives, which is tragic. And I think we always have to be on the lookout for what more we can do in order to honor them, obviously, but also to talk about the missions they've done. I think many of them feel that it is not enough understood in the society as a whole what they have actually been doing, why they are there on behalf of Norwegian or American authorities, what they're doing. I mean, one thing I always try to get across is that they are on duty day and night at home or abroad to keep the rest of us safe. Yeah, so that we can sleep.
Right. One of the things that you'd mentioned, I think it really expresses an extremely important point that I think is maybe overlooked, and that is when we think about Memorial Day or those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, right? We think about them dying because of a conflict, some type of a war, but there are training accidents, and we have service members that die in training. We have service members that, unfortunately, maybe they didn't seek the help that was available to them, and for whatever reason, they didn't seek the help, and they took their own lives. And these are people we also have to remember on a day like this because of their sacrifice. But then, almost as important is the family. You talked about that, and that's an extremely important aspect that we can never forget about.
No, I fully agree. And when we have the Memorial Day or the Remembrance Day in November, there is always a candle that is being lit by typically the Crown Prince or the King. And over the last years, there have been several members who have died because they took their own lives. And they are remembered exactly in the same way that you would remember one that lost his or her life in an accident or in a fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
General, does that give you an opportunity when you're sharing not only training, but to share how do we take care of the families, how do we deal with suicide, how do we deal with homelessness, all of those issues?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I think there's lessons shared between our countries, between our service members, and between our leaders. And the great thing about the longstanding relationship with Norway is there's relationships that are grown at the junior enlisted level, the junior officer level. And then the uniqueness to the Guard, those people grow up, and someday they may be an adjutant general or a brigade commander or a command sergeant's major, and they have that relationship with the people that they've met in Norway and understanding, and they continue to share best practices in ways, especially with today's technology through, you know, as easy as it is to communicate with one another across the globe, it's just a great benefit, and, you know, we're stronger together for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And, we talked about, or you talked about the partnership, the importance of this great partnership, obviously between Norway and in Minnesota in particular, but the United States in general. But it's more than that. It's more than just that partnership to prepare for conflict. What about the partnership in remembrance?
Well, this is a very good point. And I think that when we look at remembering our fallen soldiers and also those who are in different ways, maybe years later, coming to the conclusion that they are taking their own lives. I think that we have tried to see and to learn a lot from the U.S. because the population you have going out in service is, of course, much bigger than ours, which means that you also have a lot of experience that can be useful for others. This is also a topic in NATO, where we try as best as we can as allies to exchange some of the kind of ideas, the things we do, and also what has not worked, because there are so many things that doesn't really work. And I think that when we started to join the national Liberation Day with the Veterans Day, that also elevated the idea of how we can work together also with our strong allies to focus more on this. And I don't think there are, in my opinion, any limits as to how we can work on this.
Right. And, you know, we've deployed, we've served with coalition forces. And so when a coalition force member loses their life, It takes a part of us too, because at the end of the day, we're all still brothers and sisters in arms, and we're trying to defend rights and freedoms of our individual countries, but as a whole, together, the greater good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, and you can see it also very clearly whenever something happens, whether we lose soldiers or the U.S. loses soldiers, there is always a point of contact, especially when you're a minister, to your colleague. In my case, I had the pleasure of serving alongside both Chuck Hagel, late Ash Carter, and Jim Mattis. And if there was anything happening, if there was some kind of trouble, there was always a contact and try to focus on not only saying that, well, we are sorry for you, but standing together. And that is something that I cannot overestimate how important that support is also on a political level, because it says something about how tightly we are knit together, but also that our grief is your grief and your grief is our grief.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for that. In this last minute or so, I'm just wondering if there's any type of a special message that you might want to deliver to our Minnesotans on this Memorial Day.
Well, there is always a psalm that is being sung on both the Memorial Day, but also on the Veterans Day. And it's a bit difficult to translate it into English, but I'll try. It is called "Someone Has to Watch Over the World Tonight." And that always gives me a strong feeling of the sacrifice many are doing, and also their willingness to serve in a very conflicted and complicated situation very often. And that psalm is also, of course, it goes out to everyone who is on duty today, who is at home on duty, who is abroad on duty, and just thanking them for their service because someone has to watch over the world tonight.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Tom, what a great opportunity to hear from someone, their perspective in a different country, one of our great partners, Ina Sarita, the Member of Parliament from Norway and Chair of the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and Defense. Thank you so much for being in here with us this morning.
Thank you so much
and for sharing that someone has to watch over us.
I love it.
We have to take a short break. This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Good.
Welcome to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. My name is Doug Wortham. I've got Tom Lines in the studio with me, and a special guest with us is the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And General, I just want to say, I mean, thank you so much for bringing in Ina Sarita. What a great interview and a great perspective.
Yeah, the partnership that we have with Norway is just tremendous, and it goes back. And, I know it was mentioned earlier with General Jensen when he had him on this morning, much of the work that was done with our Norwegian partners was done by my predecessors and your predecessors, and it's evolved into the relationship that it is today. And it continues to evolve. And when I step aside and when you stepped aside, next person up, right? And it
yeah.
just continues to move along. So it's a great relationship, one that we truly value, and one that we get a ton of benefit from, and improves our organization, and hopefully it improves the Norwegian Armed Forces as well.
And Doug, our next guest is with us.
Yeah, she absolutely is. Senator Amy Klobuchar is calling in. Senator, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, hi, Doug, and it is a beautiful day in Minnesota, and I'm looking forward to joining some of you at Fort Snelling and then to Chanhassen. I always like going to some of the smaller towns as well for these incredible tributes to our fallen heroes. So thanks for having me on. And I heard you talking about Norway, General Mankey, and our great work we've done with Norway. It really is a model for the nation.
Thank you, Senator, and I appreciate all your support on everything that we've done with Norway as well and all of our partners over there.
Senator Klobuchar, Tom Lyons here. I know you're going out to Fort Snelling, but I want to dive right in a little bit. Is there any legislation you've been working on that's geared toward helping our veterans?
Well, right now we are going to continue with all of the budget issues going on. My main focus is to make sure that we follow through on our promises. And as you know, one of those that we all worked on was the PACT Act, to make sure that when our vets were exposed to toxic substances in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and actually going way back to Agent Orange, that they get the treatment that they deserved and the health care they deserved. And there have been some proposals out there when it comes to this upcoming budget to cut some of that money, and including in the ongoing what we call continuing resolution. So I've been fighting that and pushing that issue, and I'm going to continue to do that. That's my main thing. As we go into the Defense Authorization Act, which I've tended to support, and I'm going to be advocating for a number of things for our Minnesota Guard and also some of our projects that we want to have funded in the state, and pretty excited about the new planes that we're going to be getting in soon that we all worked on together on a bipartisan basis. And so we're going to make sure those get delivered on time and well built. So we're going to be doing that as well. So there's a lot on our plate, but I guess the last thing I'd mention is just the Afghans. We've all talked about this before. I carry that bill for those that served with our troops. Many of our soldiers right now are the best advocates for the Afghans who are here in this kind of very temporary in limbo status, which was not what we did with the Hmong or the who we'll honor today at Fort Snelling or others that helped our troops in Vietnam. So we want to make sure that they're not put in harm's way and sent back to the Taliban. And that's something that's an ongoing drama right now in Washington. And so and working with the VFW and all of our veteran, the American Legion, on this issue.
General, the Senator mentioned new planes. Would that be your new C-130s?
Yeah, yes, Tom, thank you. And Senator Klobuchar, thank you so much. I mean, you as well as our entire congressional delegation was really advocating for the Minnesota National Guard to modernize its C-130 fleet in the 133rd. As you continue to advocate to modernize the Minnesota National Guard, obviously, I know you know, Senator, that's one of our priorities. We want relevant equipment that's interoperable with the active Army and Air Force, and we appreciate all your support that you continue to make the Minnesota National Guard modernize. So thank you very much.
What I'll never forget, and you've heard me tell the story, is one time when the Serving Our Troops group was honored for their work that's really set off a lot of incredible national work where they, all the restaurants make food for our troops wherever they are, and that they simultaneously serve their families. There was a service with the general that was in charge of the entire National Guard, the Joint Chiefs, and he was giving the medals, and on the stage he said that the Minnesota National Guard, and this was with all the leaders in the country there, was the best guard in the country. So that was a moment I won't forget. Now it kind of pissed off all these other people from other states. But
that's okay. We can do that every once in a while. Senator, we've only got a couple of minutes here.
Okay.
And I've got a question, and then I'm going to turn it back over to General Mankey for a final question. But, you know, we talk about resources available to our families of our fallen service members. We have the Survivor Outreach Services Program here in the Minnesota National Guard. But I'm just wondering what your office in particular can do for those families of our fallen members.
Sure. So one of the things that we've done for a long time from the beginning since I got to the Senate was just make sure that the families get the benefits they should be getting. And sometimes, even with the best intentions, things get messed up. So we always encourage people to call our office. And usually I've been very accessible to people if they come up to me anywhere or if they come up to our staff members. We make sure they get hooked up to talk to someone in our staff that does this work. We have a vet that's on our staff. We've got several other people who've served. And so they make sure that they get taken care of. A lot of what we'll do is then call the right person to get them talking to the right person to make sure they're getting their benefits. And then the other thing we do is just make sure things are funded going into the future, because you don't want the next generation of families to suddenly be cut off from what they deserve. When they're home and mourning the loss of their loved ones, the last thing that they should have to worry about is red tape.
Absolutely. Now, Senator, this next question that General Mankey has for you, it's a loaded question, but you've got about a minute, okay? General, go ahead.
Hey, good morning again. Hey, I know you've done a lot for our veterans, but is there one thing you're particularly proud of that that really you'd like to illustrate for our listeners today, Senator?
I think in terms of one of the biggest things that we did, and it really wasn't me, it was because of all of the veterans that came up to me, and actually active military, and most significantly our VA doctors and nurses, was the burn pits. So I actually ended up introducing the first bill in the Senate on burn pits, and it was to promote a center of excellence. I did it with Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, where they have a lot of bases. And we came together, and I'm telling you, at the beginning, people just didn't want to deal with it. They were like, no, we're going to do that another time. No, we're going to wait a few years on that. And we finally got that first bill passed. And then once they started studying this and seeing the connection between burn pits and everything from pancreatic cancer that Amy Mueller had gotten when her husband came to me and said, this can't happen to someone else, you know, then we were able to make the case. And then finally we passed that incredible bill to help those, and going way back to Agent Orange to make sure they got the health care. So for me, every time I see Brian Mueller and remember that picture of his wife, Amy, with their three little babies and that don't have their mom, I know we did the right thing.
Thank you, Senator. We're about out of time for this segment. I hope you have the rest of the day is great out at Fort Snelling. And Chan Hassan, thanks for calling in today.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. The special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome to this special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. I've got Tom Lyons in the studio with me as my co-host and the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey. I'm Doug Wortham, and calling in is the Governor of Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Morning, Sergeant Major. Hi, Tom. General Mankey. Good to talk to you on this this Memorial Day.
Well, hey, good morning, sir.
Good to have you on the phone. And Governor, we have just a few minutes, about 9 minutes with you this morning, and we got a lot to talk about. So I'll just get right into it. And, you know, we know that you're a busy guy. You got a lot of stuff going on. So maybe you can just tell us, how are you recognizing Memorial Day today?
Yeah, I'll be headed out to Fort Snelling. I heard you had Senator Klobuchar on there. It's always good to have our federal partners in this. And I think going out to Snelling over the last yesterday, we acknowledged there are four state veteran cemeteries this day. And it's just really important to me. And I tell people if they've never been out there, and even if they maybe didn't have a veteran in their family or someone buried at, you know, interned at Fort Snelling, to go out there. I always mention that that hour or so we're out there, it feels like everything stops at the gates of that cemetery and everything feels right inside, that honoring those who gave so much. And it's Memorial Day. A lot of folks are boating or golfing or cooking out and everything. And I said those freedoms came at a horrific price. And so I'll be out there today. And it's just, I just tell people, it's hard to not be more optimistic when you see everything that's gone into this country and those who've given so much. So I'd encourage folks, come on out there. It starts around 9:45 and get out there, and it's a good way to commemorate those who served.
Governor, this is Tom. I know you served in the military for many years, and Memorial Day is a day to remember all those who served and gave their lives to this great country. Is there something or someone that you specifically think of on Memorial Day that that slows you down and makes you stop for a moment and remember?
Well, I think for all of us, you have it in your family. My dad was of the Korea War era, you know, veteran. Never talked about it much. I always regret that he passed when I was pretty young, still a teenager, and didn't get to ask him. But I think for me, maybe the most poignant, and it was serving in Congress, was a young man I didn't know that well. I didn't meet that much, but a young man named Clay Hunt, who ended up taking his life after serving honorably in both Iran in Iraq and Afghanistan. And his family came and helped us pass the legislation to help prevent veteran suicide. And getting to know that family, you know, just somewhat, and think about that loss. It's so tragic, but the family trying to turn it into something positive. So, like, out of these tragedies comes something positive. But I think Clay Hunt, a young man, vibrant, you know, in the prime of his life, and what we asked as a country for him to do weighed so heavily on him, he took his life. And I think that commitment to making sure that doesn't happen to another family.
Governor, I'm guessing that's why one of your two main priorities for our veterans is suicide prevention and homelessness.
It is. I think just keeping that commitment to it and understanding that if, you know, we are an all-volunteer force of people willing to serve. We've learned so much about mental health. We've learned so much, and both of those two issues are tied to that service, to what we referred to as invisible wounds of war. And we know that we can treat this. We know that if we can get to folks, and we hear the statistics of the number who take their lives, and we just need to get them into the system, because once we get them into the system, that number reduces greatly. And it's just, you know, to go and serve this nation, to do what's asked, and then to come home and, you know, suffer in that type of pain until they finally ends in tragedy. There's more we can do. And in Minnesota, that is such a nonpartisan commitment. And I'm proud of the work we're doing. But in both those cases, suicides and homelessness, it's a zero-sum proposition. Until we reach zero, we have work to do.
Hey, sir, good morning. And I just wanted to comment a little bit and say thank you. I know, you know, you were instrumental in the avocation and in the negotiation for some legislation that has wrapped up with the Department of Military Affairs that will benefit all of our soldiers and airmen, as well as the Department of Veterans Affairs. And you want to just highlight a couple of those wins on that aspect. We appreciate your tenacity and your leadership in fighting for our veterans and our service members, sir.
Well, thank you, and your advocacy, General, and Brad Lindsay over with you working on veterans. Look, I know folks are still listening. We've got work to do yet. We're in overtime at the legislature. It seems like our politics is always deadlocked. I think it's really important to remember that we've set a tone over the last few years, led by the Commander's Task Force, bipartisanly, that the veteran stuff is done, fully funded, wrapped up, and signed, that we made a commitment that we will never bring veterans issues into end-of-session negotiations and trade veterans for something else. Look, we have other huge priorities, health care, children, roads, bridges, all of those things. But we've made the commitment that we will take care of our veterans first, we will fund. That was the case of enlistment bonuses. General Mankey and his team put us in the top two or three of recruiting and retention in the nation. We're strong because of it. And we fully funded our new veterans homes. It's an expensive proposition, but we don't cut corners on the veterans. So we asked for almost $54 million per year in the biennium to fund those new veterans homes, and the legislature did it almost unanimously. So I think the work around homelessness that we highlighted, suicide prevention, fully funding the operating expenses, the enlistment bonuses and the wellness programs for the Guard, but fully funding the operations of those veterans homes, that was an incredible achievement. And I think for your listeners who are so frustrated with politics, I have made the case in this administration that the model is this. We can disagree, we can fight, we can come to a deadlock on things, but we will never put veterans in the middle of that. And once again, the legislators, Democrats and Republicans, did it. So I'm really proud of that.
And we really appreciate that, sir, as a veterans and current service member. That's unprecedented, I think, across all of the states and territories. So thank you very much.
Yeah, Governor, and we had, of course, the Commissioner Brad Lindsay on as a in studio guest here last hour, and we talked about that budget a little bit. And the one thing that he had mentioned was there was that concern about the homelessness budget, and it's just great to see this thing get across the finish line and get that taken care of. And so with that, Governor, just final message from you. We've got about 30 seconds with you. Final message you'd like to say to Minnesotans and how they should be honoring those who have served today.
Yeah, just pausing for a moment. There's no shame in if you're at a barbecue and you're not going to a cemetery, but just acknowledge that freedom you were given came at an incredible price, and there's families that'll be grieving today. And so I think don't take for granted the freedoms. And I always think Memorial Day might be a day to a little bit of grace and kindness to our neighbors, because it's the purest form of democracy that lays in that cemetery at Fort Snelling. They are all equals in front of their creators. And so I just hope people pause a bit and enjoy the freedoms that we're so blessed to have.
Governor, 3 o'clock this afternoon, a moment of remembrance. Stop whatever you're doing, whether it's a barbecue or however you're enjoying the outdoors today. Nice, beautiful day. And let's remember those who have served and died for our country.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Governor, have a wonderful day, and appreciate all the hard work that you do to take care of our Minnesota veterans. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
All right, that's Governor Tim Walz, Governor of Minnesota. And General Mankey, we heard it from the commissioner before. Obviously, you mentioned it too, and now hearing it again right from the governor's mouth. And he said it before, that we're not letting veteran issues become partisan issues, and they shouldn't be. We got to take care of our veterans.
Absolutely, and take care of our service members. And you both know this, that one of the strengths of the Minnesota National Guard is our ability to keep our formations full, both on the air and the Army side. And I'm happy to say on the Army side, as the governor mentioned, on a strength scorecard of the 54 states and territories, we're third, 107%. So for every 100 soldiers, we have 107. And on the air side, we're about 102, 102.5%. So our recruiting is doing well, and we have retention incentives in the state, as well as educational benefits that frankly, our service members deserve as they serve, and we help them with their continuing education and betterment.
It's been several weeks now, but on our normal broadcast, I had a roundtable with some Minnesota Air National Guard recruiters and just talked about the way things used to be when it came to recruiting for the Air National Guard, the way it is now, and this process. And they're very proud of the successes they've made to get to that 102, 101, 103, you know, wherever the number lies.
Yeah, and they're doing a great job. And frankly, you know, I think they've learned a lot of lessons from our Army Guard recruiters and the historic reputation of Minnesota National Guard, Army Guard recruiters. And then there's more emphasis, I think, with our commanders on retention. And it goes back to some of the things we talked about today, including the families. Hey, so it's you've all heard it. We recruit a soldier and airman, but we retain the family. And 100%. I think that's important.
So. Yeah. If the family doesn't want you to serve and they don't give you that support, it's real tough to continue serving.
Doug, quickly, one of the things the governor said was keeping politics out of the veterans issues. And I think this was the third year in a row. The commander's task force was made up of the 8 federal veteran service organizations led by Trent Dilks at DAV. 3 years ago, they started a separate veterans omnibus bill that's for veterans issues only, including funding for the Department of Military Affairs and funding for the Department of Veterans Affairs. It has kept us out of that year-end morass that's a big omnibus bill. And I think that's been important. And we've had the full support of the governor to do that for all these several 3 years that they've gotten it done.
Yeah, and I think the governor has said it, you know, now that it's 3 years in a row or whatever the number is, I think it is 3, Tom. This is now the way moving forward. This is the way it has to continue because it's the right thing to do. Let the other stuff, you can fight in the trenches about that, but when it comes to our service members and our veterans, let's just get it done early.
Yeah, so that it's such a small fraction of our population that preserve the way, you know, our freedoms are, our democracy. So I think it's great that we do that.
So General Mankey, we have just a few minutes left with you, and I want to make sure that we get to hear a little bit about how you honor and what you think about on a day like today.
Yeah, so I think, you know, and you've heard it before, but you say someone's name, you remember them. You know, so yesterday my family and I went to the various cemeteries around where I live, and my grandfather was a World War II vet, so we stopped at his grave and put some flowers on his grave and whatnot, and just kind of cleaned up the general maintenance of the headstone and whatnot. And I think that's how I remember, that's how I paid respect to my grandfather for his service. But, you know, recently... December 5th, 2019, we lost our 3 service members up in St. Cloud in the tragic UH-60 accident. So Court Plantenberg, James Rogers, and Charles Nord, you know, we remember them, we say their names. And I would just encourage people, and there's many other people that I know that unfortunately have lost their life through service or you know, and our Vietnam vets now are getting older where they're health is a little bit more fragile probably than it was. So, but say a name, it makes you remember them and they live on. So, I think that's how I remember, Memorial Day. And, you know, this afternoon will be pretty quiet for me, but, I'll certainly pause at 3 PM you know, remember the fallen and remember those and say their names and, you know, spend some time with my family. And I heard Butch this morning, you know, he talked about, hey, it's okay to celebrate a little bit because our people who are no longer with us would want us to be happy and glad and remembering them rather than just totally somber. I mean, there's certainly a place for both. And I think you'll find as a veteran, you know, my emotions go from one end of the spectrum to the other today, but just look forward to remembering those who I've served with who are no longer here and thinking about a time that I've spent with them. And I'll probably make some phone calls with some of my colleagues as well. But that's how I remember Veterans Day. And how about yourself, Sergeant Major?
Yeah, you know, I'll say the names too. James Wordish, Carlos Wilcox, and Daniel Drevnik, the 3 MPs, 2 MPs, one of them was a medic that we lost when I was in Iraq. And, you know, we can't forget them. We got to say the name. So, General, thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio on this special Memorial Day broadcast. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And, Tom, thank you. You know, 15 years of this great opportunity to be here live in the K-Talk studio. John Justice will be back in the studio from 6 to 9 tomorrow, but it's great for them to allow us to take over the studio and do and have this honor to remember and honor those who have served. So final thoughts to you, Tom.
Thank you. And I'd just like to, Doug, tell everybody and you, you've done a great job the last year sitting in that seat as primary host. I think we picked the right Command Sergeant Major to take over and take this into the future and keep telling the stories of our veterans and our families and all the resources available. It's important. And if we can help one veteran on one show or one veteran's family, then we've done the job that we need to do. I can't say much about all of the names on the Vietnam Veterans Wall, but today I remember a bunch of my buddies that didn't come home with me, and it's important to keep them in your memories. That's what the day's about. But Butch is right as well. It's a three-day weekend, a holiday. Enjoy it with your family. Visit the cemeteries. Take a moment at 3 o'clock. And I'd also like to thank iHeartMedia. They not only put us on the air and started this program that's now on 70 stations around the state, but every Memorial Day they give us 3 hours live, and they haven't kicked us off the air yet, so I guess we're doing all right. General says we're doing good. So.
Well, and we got a good engineer taking care of us, too, so we got to give a shout-out to him.
Everybody here does a great job, and just appreciative that we're able to tell these stories and encourage all the people in Minnesota to think about the veterans and those who serve. I just want to thank all of you and thank iHeart for having us on the air for 15 years. And we're going to close out the show with Taps, which is our custom. And, of course, that was a creation of times gone past and a good, honorable way to end the show. And once again, Doug, thank you. General, thank you. And now we'll go to Taps.